We'll be considering a subject that Brother Russell said we can't have too much of, and that is rejoicing Christians. We've entitled our remarks, Rejoice Forevermore. And we'd like to begin the service this evening with the singing of the hymn that will be on the screen, hymn 32, Come All Ye Saints to Pisgah's Mountain. You know, as we peruse the scriptures, the thought of rejoicing is replete throughout. There are over 275 forms of the word rejoice in the scriptures. It must have a great importance to our Heavenly Father and likewise to us. 158 times it's rendered rejoice. Rejoiced, rejoiceth, rejoices, rejoicing, and then glad and rejoice. The basis is found in some of the Psalms, Psalm 9:2 and Psalm 71, which set the object for our praise service. Psalm 9, verse 2 reads, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And verse 14, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. And then the psalmist in the 71st Psalm, verse 23, adds another beautiful thought. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. In Psalm 97, verse 1, it tells us the thought that the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. We have a reading taken from two of the reprints. We're going to call upon Brother Harold Duckett to come up to the other podium and read a selection from reprint 1887 and another from reprint 1996 on the whole earth and how it rejoices. Brother Harold.
The golden text for this lesson, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, Psalm 97:1. While it has no reference to the Lord's reign over Israel, but to the establishment of God's kingdom in the earth in the dawn of the millennial day, and hence calls upon the whole earth to rejoice, has nevertheless a fitness as applied to Israel. The Lord did graciously and righteously reign over that people, and to the extent that they were able to appreciate His righteousness and justice and His love and care, it was a cause of rejoicing to them. The golden text, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, Psalm 97:1, is prophetic of that blessed time when the antitype of David's throne, the kingdom of Jehovah's anointed, our Lord Jesus, shall be established in all the earth. Then indeed may the earth rejoice, for that king will reign in righteousness and justice, and judgment will be the habitation of his throne.
Careful. You're all right? All right. Come before His presence with singing. That's one of the joys we have at the close of this day, to praise the Lord in thought and in song. And so we'd like, through the course of the program this evening, to take part and singing some of the hymns that we have that deal with this theme of rejoicing. So to begin with, we're going to sing the hymn entitled Wake the Song. It's hymn 314, and the words will be on the screen. ¶¶ the joy and rejoicing the world will have when our mediator helps them up that highway of holiness. In Isaiah 65, verse 18, the prophet says, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy." We have some thoughts selected from reprint 1649 regarding the rejoicing of Jerusalem. We're going to ask Sister Alice Schneider to come forward and read that selection.
1649. "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that mourn for her. Behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Isaiah 66:10, 65:18 and 19. This call to rejoice with Jerusalem immediately follows the prophetic announcement of the birth of Zion. The term Zion and Jerusalem being here used here interchangeably. The birth of Zion, the exaltation of the body of Christ to kingdom, power, and glory, will indeed be a cause for rejoicing on the part of all people. For it is for this exaltation and manifestation of the sons of God that the whole creation waits, groaning and travailing together in pain until now, Romans 8:22 and 23. When the true Zion is thus exalted, then will follow the great work of the kingdom. The travail upon nominal Zion, immediately succeeding, will quickly liberate the true children of God still in her, and they shall come forth to larger views and higher principles, and to develop rapidly into nobler characters. The rule of the iron rod will quickly subdue all things, completely breaking up the whole present social fabric and accomplishing the leveling process, which will make ready for the peaceful reign of righteousness."
What a prospect, what a joy to rejoice in, when our Lord will bless all of the families of the earth, and Jerusalem will have such an integral part, and the ancient worthies in that process. We are going to now continue with the use of hymn 248, which speaks of that millennial glory, to rejoice in that promised time that is coming. Let us sing all the verses.
Oh,
a time of blessing and rejoicing, a time for mankind when all things will be new. We have a poem entitled that, which we've asked our sister Hazel McClellan to read for us, entitled All Things New.
All things new. The world is old with centuries, but not for these she shows her head. Close to her heart the sorrow lies, she holds so many dead. Sad discourses mingle in her song, tears fall upon her with a dew. The whole creation groans, how long ere all shall be made new? Yet brightly on her smiles the sun, a bounteous heaven delights to bless. Oh, what shall be that fairer one wherein dwells righteousness? Oh, happy world, oh, holy time, when wrong shall die and strife will cease, and all the bells of heaven chime with melodies of peace. No place shall be in that new earth for all that blights this universe. No evil taint the second birth. There shall be no more curse. Ye broken-hearted, cease your moan. The day of promise dawns for you. For he who sits upon the throne says, I make all things new. We mourn the dead, but they shall wake. The lost, but they shall be restored. Oh, well our human hearts might break without that sacred word. Dim eyes look up, sad hearts rejoice, seeing God's both promise through. At sound of that prophetic voice, I will make all things new.
The prophet Isaiah, in the 25th chapter and the 9th verse, tells us, And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The psalmist in the 5th psalm, verse 11 and 12, adds another beautiful thought, saying, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We're going to ask Sister Debbie Stewart to come forward now and read an excerpt from reprint 4248. This was from a discourse by Brother F.W. Williamson in a 1908 convention in Put-in Bay.
Let us, Brother Williamson said, examine some of the statements of the Lord's Word to see why those who put their trust in Him are enjoined to rejoice, bringing to mind the covenant which they have made with the Lord, a covenant of suffering and death. Then let us look at the other side, at the sustaining grace, so that we may be enabled to accomplish his good and acceptable will. What is it that the scriptures point out to us as being part and parcel of our covenant? Is it not the narrow way entered by the straight gate, which few find and which implies suffering? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Having entered into the narrow way, having placed ourselves under the particular care and keeping of the Lord, then we may appropriate the text which proclaims that his grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. With this goes the promise that God will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. If suffering, are we rejoicing?
Rejoicing in suffering. As the scripture reminds us, to be patient and hope in tribulation, because we have a beautiful relationship with our Lord Jesus. We are safe in his arms. And that's the theme of our next hymn, 252, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Relationship with our Redeemer and our Heavenly Father. It's a cause indeed for rejoicing that the Apostle Paul had in mind as he penned some of the words to the church in Philippi. Philippians 4:10. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He received that care from the Lord's hand through the brethren. And then in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, the apostle adds, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. He indeed rejoiced in the fellowship of his brethren. And that made him happy. And I would say, are we happy here today? Certainly we are. We've had much to rejoice about. And so we'd like to sing a reminder of that very fact. Hymn 206, How Happy Are We? Presentations. A brother, John T. Reed, was used by our pastor to sing solos to the audience. And he had a wonderful voice. And one of the themes that he sang about was the 90 and 9, which is based on the record in Luke 15, verse 3, on that parable, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We're going to, at this time, have a reading by Sister Virginia Rawson regarding thoughts from reprint 5427 and the aspect of the sheep and the 99. Now, I didn't count these, so if you want to be sure there are 99, you have to start in the upper left corner. Sister Virginia.
Reprint 5427. Many apply this parable in Luke 15:4-7 inconsistently. They seem to think of the whole world of mankind as representing the flock of 100 sheep and the one strain as representing the sinners of earth, comparatively few. Surely this cannot be the true interpretation. Rather, as the prophet has declared, all we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. Let us rather interpret the parable on a broader scale, in comportment with the facts and the scriptures. Let us understand the one stray sheep to represent Adam and his family, and the 99 just persons needing no repentance as representing the holy angels. To this view, every feature of the parable inclines. The good shepherd left the heavenly flock and came to earth to find, to redeem, to recover mankind, the lost sheep. And there is more rejoicing in heaven over human recoveries from sin and alienation from God than over the holy ones themselves, than over each other, who have never been alienated, never needed redemption. The lesson to the Pharisees is plain. They had a different spirit from that of the holy ones. Theirs was an earthly view, a selfish one, a proud and haughty one, out of accord with the divine spirit, and not pleasing to God. Jesus would have all of his disciples copy God. Be ye like unto your Father, which is in heaven. He is kind to the unthankful. His mercy endureth forever to a full completeness.
Well, we're not going to ask the brethren here to sing that hymn, 99. But as promised, we're going to take you back in time and listen to a recording of Brother Reed as he presented that beautiful hymn.
But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. From the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, 'Tis of mine, has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord went through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands all rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn.
He had a lot to rejoice about. What a beautiful voice. There are many other occasions for rejoicing, but we think of the time when our Lord Jesus rode into the city on the colt. What rejoicing there were amongst the people, those that had witnessed his beautiful words, the miracles he performed, and the prospect of the kingdom that he spoke on. And then after he died and gave his life for all mankind, there was another occasion of rejoicing at his resurrection, as within that resurrection was the hope for all mankind assured. It was so exciting. It was such a joy to rejoice in that. The disciples couldn't wait. They had to make haste to share the news that the Lord was risen. But we today have much also to rejoice in, reflecting back on that resurrection and the benefits that we have received as a result. In Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 37 and 8, we're told that when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. In Matthew 28, verses 6, 7, and 8, we have the thought also about that time of his resurrection, that he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples, his disciples' word. And the beautiful legacy to us is found in the thought of Isaiah 61:10, which says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Indeed, a true cause of rejoicing for us, the prospect of saints here while we wait our change. We should always be in that frame of mind of rejoicing. And that's one of my favorite hymns, entitled Always Rejoicing. It's hymn number 27. We'd like to sing that now. Additional thoughts we find in Scripture regarding our rejoicing in hope of glory and our patience in tribulation, this being the Lord's chosen path to our glory. We read in Romans 5:2 again, By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Further in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 12, we again read, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. What a precious privilege to have that instant access of prayer in time of need. Peter takes up the theme in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, when he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In our Christian course, we have the Lord's direction of our experiences to prepare and fit us for a place in His kingdom. And it requires, in a sense, that we be alienated from the world and its desires and pursuits. And it leaves us, in a certain sense, an experience of feeling like pilgrims traveling home, as we sang in that hymn 27. But pilgrims in a desert land, a dry and arid place that really has no home for us. And at times in these experiences of life, the Lord sees that we need to be stirred up a bit so that we can develop as hardened soldiers or even as sailors on a sea that are tossed by the waves of the tempest. And that is all designed with our growth in the Spirit to be developed. But along with those, we can recount so many Ebenezers, so many memories of how hitherto the Lord has helped us, how in many, many providential ways He has overruled experiences to help us through the trials, that we would receive the required instruction and the development of our character. And so we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. One of the ways that the Lord immensely helps us is by blessing us with the begettal of His Spirit, resulting in the Spirit of a sound mind to guide our lives through each day as a faithful guide. This is the comforter that the Lord has left for us. It's the theme of hymn 91, entitled Our Faithful Guide, which we'd like to sing next.
Thank you.
we have many things that grace our day. Every morning, the sun rises. And we come to expect that. Perhaps we even take it for granted. But what a blessing we have that the sun, the natural sun, is there to brighten each day. It's a blessing from the Lord, a cause for rejoicing. But more so, Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, the one who has redeemed all mankind, the one who has given his life that they may have life, the one who has opened for us the new and living way. We rejoice also in that faithful and wise servant that the Lord has selected to bless us immensely with the harvest message that has been a guide to us to understand the holy word of God. Indeed, he was made ruler of all his goods, giving to us God's plan, a plan of salvation for all mankind, with paradise lost through paradise restored, documented in the planes of existence and the date lines that are so precious to us to understand. One of the other blessings we have in our lives is the thought found in Psalm 91:11 from Farrar Fenton. For you, he will order his angels to keep guard upon all your paths. An unseen blessing, but a guardian angel to help us along this narrow way. A guardian angel and our Lord's providences that protect us from our adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if faithful to the very end, the rejoicing we have to think of the mansion that the Lord has prepared for you and for me, if we can be faithful unto death. So many causes for rejoicing. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it speaks of the path of righteousness, saying, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. Our last reading is a precious poem that speaks of that change. It's entitled, From Glory to Glory. From Glory Unto Glory. We're going to ask Sister Carol Duran to come forward and read that selection.
From Glory Unto Glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. From glory unto glory be this our joyous song, as on the narrow way to life we bravely march along. From glory unto glory, O word of stirring cheer, as dawns the solemn brightness of another glad new year. Our own beloved Master hath many things to say. Look forward to his teaching unfolding day by day, to whispers of his Spirit, to insight clear and sweet, to blessed consolation while resting at his feet. From glory unto glory, our faith has seen the King. We own his matchless beauty as adoringly we sing. But he hath more to show us, O thought of untold bliss, and on we press exultingly in blessed hope to this, to marvelous outpourings of his treasures new and old, to largesse of his bounty paid in the King's own gold, to glorious expansion of his mysteries of grace, to radiant unveilings of the brightness of his face. From glory unto glory, what great things he hath done, what wonders he hath shown us, what triumphs he hath won. We marvel at the records of the blessings of the year, but sweeter than bells rings out his promise clear, that greater things, far greater, our longing eyes shall see. We can but wait and wonder what greater things shall be. but glorious fulfillments rejoicingly we claim while pleading in the power of the all-prevailing name. From glory unto glory, what mighty blessings crown the lives for which our Lord hath laid his own so freely down. Omnipotence to keep us, omniscience too to guide, Jehovah's blessed presence within us to abide. The fullness of his blessing encompasseth our way. The fullness of his promises crowns every brightening day. The fullness of his glory is beaming from above, while more and more we realize the fullness of his love. From glory unto glory, without a shade of care, because the Lord who loves us will every burden bear. Because we trust him fully and know that he will guide and know that he will keep us at his beloved side. From glory unto glory, though tribulation fall, it cannot touch our treasure when Christ is all in all. Whatever lies before us, there can be naught to fear, for what are pain and sorrow when Jesus Christ is near? From glory unto glory, O marvels of the Word, with open face beholding the glory of the Lord, we, even we, O wondrous grace, are changed into the same, the image of our Savior, to glorify his name. Abiding in his presence and walking in the light and seeking to do always what is pleasing in his sight, we look to him to keep us all glorious within, because the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing from all sin. The things behind forgetting, we only gaze before, from glory unto glory that shineth more and more, because our Lord hath said it, that such shall be our way, O splendor of the promise, unto the perfect day. From glory unto glory, our fellow travelers still are gathering on the journey, the bright electric thrill of quick instinctive union, more frequent and more sweet, shall swiftly pass from heart to heart in true and tender beat. And closer yet and closer the golden bonds shall be, and linking all who love our Lord in pure sincerity, and wider yet and wider shall the circling glory glow, as more and more are taught of God that mighty love to know. O ye who seek the Savior, look up in faith and love, come up into the sunshine, so bright and warm above. No longer tread the valley, but clinging to his hand, ascend the shining summits and view the glorious land. Our harp notes should be sweeter, our trumpet tones more clear, our anthems ring so grandly that all the world must hear. O royal be our music, for who hath cause to sing like the chorus of redeemed ones, the children of the King? O let our adoration for all that he hath done peal out beyond the stars of God, while voice and life are one. And let our consecration be real and deep and true. O, even now our hearts shall bow and joyful vows renew. In full and glad surrender we give ourselves to thee, thine utterly and only and evermore to be. O Son of God who lovest us, we will be thine alone, and all we are and all we have shall henceforth be thine own. Now onward, ever onward, from strength to strength we go, while grace for grace abundantly shall from his fullness flow to glory's full fruition, from glory's foretaste here, until his very presence crown our happiest new year.
And what a joy that new year will be when we are called forward by the Lord to come up higher. We're going to conclude our service with the use of hymn 151, a familiar one to us, arise and shine, reminding us of that beautiful prospect. Assisted with readings and all the technical support to bring this blessing to us tonight. We trust that it has brought a feeling of rejoicing to your hearts at the close of this day of blessings and convention. And we leave you with the thought, from the Apostle's words in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. May the Lord add his blessing. And we would like to have the lights back on, please.
Thank you, Brother Ed, and all the brethren who participated. I'd like to have Brother Ed Winsky come up and read us the songs of the night, please. Songs of the night for June 10. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be of myself. John 7:17. We believe that without a love of the truth, none will be favored with the light of present truth. More than this, we hold that if sincere love for the truth, honesty of thought and deed, be yield, sacrifice to pride, ambition, vainglory, or any other thing, the result will be a loss of present truth. Let us ever keep in memory our Lord's message through the Apostle, that now in the end of this age he will send strong delusions, that all may believe a lie who have pleasure in untruth, who receive not the truth in the love of it. Let us guard our consciences, realizing that the preservation would surely work our injury, our alternation from the Lord, or alienation from the Lord, and our rejection from his service now and hereafter. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 7:17. Thank you, Brother Ed. Brethren, just two notes. The room will be locked and secured, so if you want to leave your things, you can. And the convention starts tomorrow at 9:15. Now we'll close with a word of prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear Father, we rejoice in the prospect before us of seeing thee as thou art, if faithful, that we might have a share in thy kingdom and its work of blessing all mankind, to be together with those who have served thee faithfully in this narrow way, to be with our Redeemer, our Bridegroom and Head, to bring glory and honor to thy name, to uplift this groaning creation to the blessings of life, that they might know thee from the least to the greatest. We thank thee for all the blessings of this convention this day, the thoughts that have encouraged us to press on in this narrow way, that we might bear fruitage to thy praise and honor. We ask thy blessing on our fellowship to follow, and the night's rest, that we might be refreshed for still added blessings in prospect on the morrow. And so we leave ourselves now in thy care, giving thee thanks as we rejoice in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen.